Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm tempted to ask Chris to deliver the sermon this morning, since he's clearly done some research into Isaiah, but I'm not going to do that. But this is a somewhat uncomfortable Sunday for me, because this is a Sunday when we talk about stewardship. And at one level, this is the pass the hat Sunday, when I'm asking you to fund my salary and Brian's salary and Ernie's salary. But I'm not going to talk about that. I want to talk about the reading from Isaiah. And you'll recall that Isaiah is one of the most magnificent and poetic books of scripture. And it essentially breaks down into three parts. First Isaiah, which are chapters 1 through 39, and Second Isaiah, which are chapters 44 through 66. And scholars have since realized that the Second Isaiah should be broken down into Second Isaiah and Third Isaiah. We're all called Isaiah because Isaiah the prophet inspired a school. And so the book was not written all at one point in time. We had the first 39 chapters, which were written back in the time when the Assyrians threatened Judah. And then we have the later chapters, which are written during the Babylonian captivity and then afterwards. So to give you a sense of what's going on here, the people of Judah had been invited to return back to their homeland by Cyrus, the king of Persia. And the Persians were the ones who defeated the Babylonians. And some of them took up that invitation and they returned home. And they got there and things were not going well. So people had this expectation that God was going to snap God's fingers and everything was going to be as it had been before. Everything was going to be wonderful. The people who'd moved into their homes would be gone. The economy would be strong. Everybody would be excited about the future. And that's not the way things were. So, if you reflect on this for a moment, you'll think, wait, this sounds kind of familiar. And I don't know that anybody was wandering around talking about making Judah great again, but you get the sense of that dynamic. And it didn't work 2,500 years ago, and it doesn't work today. However, we are called to dream big. The new heavens and a new earth is a promise, and a big promise. And if you think about how difficult it would have been for the people of Judah to hear that promise, recall their scriptures, the flood stories. And people might have said, oh, God's going to wipe everything off the face of the earth. That doesn't sound like much of a promise, but that's not what God was promising. God was talking about a transformation. And I'd like you to reflect on what it means to be transformed, really transformed. It's not always easy. It's not always pleasant. But it's something we as individuals and we as a community and we as a society need to welcome. So I know this sounds like a cheap fortune cookie adage, but change is going to happen. And the choice we have is whether we let change happen to us or whether we drive change. So when Brooke and Ed were in touch with me about coming here today, I thought this would be the perfect Sunday to have a presentation about epilogos, Because the work that's being done down in El Salvador, which has been done in part by us, is the kind of transformation that needs to take place. So I still remember visiting the school and seeing the children and seeing the lab that had been funded by support from Epilogos. A dollar goes a lot farther down in El Salvador than it does here in the US. The flip side is they don't have as many dollars as we do. But we could see in the faces of those children and those young people, the kind of transformation that takes place when we invest in the future. That is the kind of work the church is called to do. And if you like music, again, I invite you to come here this afternoon and to listen to the concert. We support that effort to share music with the wider community. That's what the church does. And then, of course, we offer worship every week. And again, I want to thank the choir for the anthem they sang this morning and Ernie for his musicianship. But that's the kind of thing we support at the church. Now, I know there are some people who are not happy. And part of it may be me. Part of it's the pandemic. Part of it is just life in general. But we are a community. And what we do here is not about any one of us. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about us. And most importantly, it is about God. So last week, we had a difficult situation arise in which someone came to the church for support. And we talked about this situation at council. And I have to let you know, it turned out to be a scammer. Now, the bank was able to stop payment on the check that had been written. I can't think of a better word than be feeling squishy. And I know that there were questions asked about whether we should be doing this. But people in our church want to help those in need. And because there's one bad apple out there, we are not going to say that we're not helping anybody. And so rather than focus on the bad actor out there, I wanted to focus on the generosity of members of this community and some of our partners in mission ministry in the Upper Valley. And even our friends at the bank, which is probably not a phrase you often think of, but they rose to the occasion. There are good people out there. There are things worth supporting. And I believe this church is one of them. So yes, I'm going to ask you to make a stewardship pledge. And if you've given in the past, thank you. And if it's possible, I'm going to ask you to consider increasing. If you've not pledged, I invite you to do so this year. And actually make a pledge. I know there's some people out there who like to make a gift every week. And then we know how much it's going to be at the end of the calendar year. But there's something about the intentionality of making the pledge, of making the commitment to God, that is an important act of faith. So it's hard to believe it was less than a week ago, but a lot of us went out to vote, and a lot of us were ultimately satisfied with the election results. Some of us may not have been, but everybody was exercising some faith when they went into the polling place. Think about that. If you voted, you were exercising faith. Not that God was going to make everything right, but that the community as a whole would make the right decisions. When you come to church, you are voting. And Sunday morning, I know you could be home watching TV news shows, roundtables, reading the newspaper, but you're not, you're here, or you've joined us on Zoom. And again, I thank you for your doing that. So Isaiah's prophecy is really rather remarkable. And I just want to read a couple of parts to you again. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. So let's think about that transformation taking place here in this community. And we're not looking at the moment for dollars for a particular capital project, but think about all the activity that we support and that you help make possible. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. We've gone through some rough patches at times. Every community has. And I would like for us not to let the bad times dominate our thinking about the future. Think about that. And then there's the way the reading ends. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. We preached about the peaceable kingdom in the past, and we know that it is not a vision of the laws of nature being suspended. Wolves and lambs are not going to be eating together. Lions are not going to eat like oxen. But the image is worth holding on to. And if we think about how those animals represent people and the way people act and hopefully get along, that's inspiring. So it concludes, they shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So I'm going to take a little bit of exegetical license here and suggest that the holy mountain is all the earth, all that's in it, all who live here, all who love it. And imagine if there is not fighting anymore. Imagine that. I know some of you have served our country in the armed forces, and we thank people for their commitment to the country for doing that. But imagine if people didn't have to take up arms. Imagine if we didn't fight and argue amongst ourselves. Think about that. So on this day, I'm going to ask everybody here to dream big, and we'll dream together about what we can do and what we should do. And unfortunately, not everybody here has had the opportunity to visit SJV, but Ron can, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, but Ron can endorse everything I'm about to say. We've seen good things happen, and Wendell too. Thank you for being here, Wendell. We've seen the difference that our efforts can make. And I know that everybody could always use a few extra dollars. But my assumption here is that nobody has ever lived in a ramshackle old house with dirt floors. And that's where the family lived before we built that house for them. We made a difference in their lives. That is what the church is for. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gifts of this earth and all in it. We thank you for the opportunity to share and to be stewards, to care for what you have entrusted to us. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be faithful Christians this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.